A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to do an amazing interview with the most recently eliminated contestant.
Hello, Nina.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the podcast with us. We just want to find out all about your experience with MasterChef, and obviously we'll talk about the last challenge a little bit, but I always like to find out, give me the rundown, how was your experience? Was it worth it for you? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Give us the dirty details.
I don't have a lot of dirt, man. I had a pretty good time. I mean, there were obviously
good
stressful moments. There were obviously things, I'm not the kind of person who spends a ton of time with regret or wishing things had been different. Looking backwards, I'm like, I probably should have not done that. Oh well.
right. Yeah.
Overall, when people ask me about it, I say, yeah, and maybe it's a little bit of what do you have backwards facing rose tinted glasses? I don't know. I'm like, sure, I would do that again. But I'm thinking back to some of those nights in the hotel where I had to try and go to bed early so I could get up at three a.m. to do my hair. And yeah, there were some hard times, but overall it was a great experience.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, and you had some really amazing dishes and some amazing things that we got to see you do on the show. Honestly, you were one of my favorites. I loved you. I thought you were great. Yeah, I thought you were fantastic. How was it in the regions? I mean, obviously your guys' region had a little bit of a rough go.
Yeah, we were hammered from the beginning, just totally destroyed.
Yeah, destroyed.
Yeah, and it didn't really at the time seem like, it was sad, obviously, for me to, we were all, despite the regionhood, we were all very tight the entire time. But obviously our little team unit, it was especially sad to see my friends from there keep leaving. But at the time it just felt like, oh, well, that sucks. I guess I'll just keep doing my best. And it really wasn't until it was down to just me and Bryn when I was like, wait a minute, the way they have this whole structured, one of us is going to be on the bottom and one of us is going to be on the top and there's nothing we can do about it. So at that point,
right,
I started to feel a little unfortunate that we had, and I think it was just a combination of things. Right at the beginning, there were a lot of challenges where several of the people on my team who were not as comfortable baking or making desserts had to do that or chose to do that right off the bat. And I never got to see Richie cook anything not sweet.
right.
So I feel like there was a lot of potential there that just because of the order of things and how things shook out, that was a little bit unfortunate.
I'm always curious, you watch the show and then you're on the show. What is it like going from watching the show to being on the show and seeing Gordon, Joe, or Arone yelling, correcting, mentoring in person?
Well, it's perhaps a little bit different for me because I did not watch the show prior to, I did binge it directly before being on the, on my plane flight out there. I think I watched five in a row. I was like, I should probably, because I had never seen it before. Of course, I'd heard of it. I knew sort of who Gordon Ramsay was. Before, I was asked to audition. I'm not really much of a reality cooking competition TV show watcher. I prefer, sci-fi and monsters. so I didn't have this whole backlog of emotion attached to these three famous people that I was going to be in the room with, like some of the other, super fans did. So it felt, I don't know, there's definitely an element of focus and anxiety and stress while you're doing the cook. And afterwards, I felt sort of like their commentary was mostly pretty fair. Sometimes the words they choose are a little bit snippier than maybe a normal person would say in a normal situation, but you understand that because it's got to be entertaining TV. But for the most part, everything they said was pretty accurate, and there was actually a lot of helpful commentary, and I learned a whole bunch of stuff.
Amazing.
I want to know, So you had to be on the bottom, obviously, the cake challenge. But it looks like pretty darn good to me.
The German chocolate cake.
Like, I want to know, like, was it pretty darn good?
The things that they commented on, I thought that I had handled pretty well. The one thing they mentioned that I agreed with was I did forget to put frosting on the very top before I around the sides. Did forget that, so I'll totally own that. But I did toast my coconut and my pecans, and they were great. And I don't like dry cake. So, you know, it's hard. The cake's up there and you're looking at it and you're like, I can't really tell the way they're cutting it. I feel like if I would have tasted it, that would have been the way I like to eat cake. However, I understand that there's a difference between your own personal preferences and a standard that you're supposed to meet. And that was something that Joe actually helped me understand. It's not like extra salt. It's the standard amount that you are expected to be able to maintain. If you're a professional chef or, you know, a pastry cook, you have to be able to hit that standard all the time. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
What were
it
you
looked,
thinking?
It looked yummy.
What were you thinking when Kennedy took all the mayo?
Well, I mean, first of all, I love Kennedy. She's my girl. So, you know.
Yeah, you two seem like you would get along really well.
Yes, she's
cool.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, there were definitely like at least four sort of tattooed chicks there that were very, very tight. you know, you don't spend too much time trying to be, you know, frustrated or irritated or scared. You just sort of immediately try and figure out how you're going to fix it. So obviously I was in charge of slaw. No kids eat slaw to begin with. So that's like just a setup for failure. There's nothing.
We said that. Yeah.
I was like, no, my kids would never eat slaw. Like they don't want slaw.
I don't
like,
really I'm even sorry. Love slaw today. Like,
oh man, I'll eat all the slaws. I love all the slaws, but you know,
I love slaws, but if my 4-year-old doesn't
need to eat like, it. You put mayo on it. You don't make it like a tangy, spicy kind of thing. So, you know, it ended up not being that big of a deal. She used all the mayo. Oh, well, I'm not going to use sour cream. That's weird.
Totally weird.
A little bit of the fry sauce that she made. And that's what I ended up using.
Yeah, worked out. I want to know about this challenge. I find it very strange that we now have two contestants that have basically gone home for the same dish. We had a butter chicken and then a tikka masala. I'm very floored by this phenomenon this year.
Yeah, I know. That was after the fact. I was like, that was a poor choice on my behalf. Not only did I choose to make something brown, which is really hard to make attractive, no matter what you do, but I was also like, okay, if even the Indian woman who specializes in Indian food and has made butter chicken probably 1,000 times in her life, if even she couldn't, what makes me think that I can make a tikka masala, which is a little bit different, but still. Is supposed to have all that depth of flavor and using MR anyway.
Right.
You don't have that much time to really be logical in the moment. You just have to pick your best creative idea and go with it. And afterwards, you're like, oh, oops.
Yeah, you look back, you're like, oh, whoops. Yeah. Like, oh, well. Tough challenge, though. Very tough challenge, I think.
I mean, what's sad is that I was actually really excited by that challenge. Of the episodes I did watch of the show before being on it, the ones that I thought that I would be best at were the, you know, the convenience store foods or making something out of a whole bunch of stuff, that because that's what I do all day every day. I'm like, okay, what's in my yard, what's in my freezer, what's around that I can put together. So I'm very used to that, and so I thought I was gonna kill it. Plus living in Maine, I've got a whole bunch of like military friends and neighbors who have MREs sitting around, like I know those things. So it is kind of a bummer that I feel like I have extra let my state down by not performing with the packages of weird ingredients. Oh, well.
It's tough, too, because it's like you know, once you're in it with the dish that you decide to make, it's really hard to change course, right?
Yes. Yes. Very hard to change course and very hard to, you know, one of the bigger mistakes I feel like I made is that I assumed that the package of tomatoes and beans was going to have a lot of tomatoes in it, which you need a tomato item for the masala. So I planned my entire sort of strategy around that. When I opened it up, I realized that it was actually black-eyed peas and a little bit of tomato and a lot of lemon juice. So it was like black-eyed peas and lemon, which is, but like you said, at that point, you can't really, you've already gotten all your ingredients, you've planned your whole thing. So I had it on the stove. I cooked up my chicken, which were in yogurt, even though Gordon didn't say they were. I did.
Like they were.
But I should have deglazed the pan with something a little sweeter and something a little bit more warming, like maybe a whiskey or a brandy or something instead of lemon juice. Because when I deglazed that pan with lemon juice and then I put in the lemony black-eyed peas, it was just, it was really sour. I mean, I feel like I managed to make it taste okay by the end, but Gordon tasted it right at that point when it was at its most sour. And that, I think, definitely offended his delicate Tika sensibilities.
Yeah, there was a lot of fixing to be done at that point. You're like, I don't know if we can make it back from this.
Yep.
Now, I also, you were up against some two other dishes that were less than, you know, fantastic, right? Also, which I was honestly, I'm not going to lie, I was very surprised you went home. I did not think that you were going to be going home.
What did you think?
No, I didn't think so either. I mean, I definitely sort of had a little bit of an off day. You know, it wasn't, and I feel like that can happen to anybody at any point. We're not robots. And we had already expended a lot of creative energy. And so, no, I didn't think that I was, I mean, at the time I was like, all right, that's cool. My family misses me. I should probably go home. Like, I didn't feel like mad or upset by it. It wasn't really till I got, damn it. I feel I could have made it farther if I understood some of the things about that world that I feel like I do now, the realizations I have made. I feel like if I were to go back and do that again, I think I would do better.
Just want to say too, you know, you said in an interview on the show this week that you didn't want to be the star that rose early in the beginning and then fell, but you are a star, Nina. Like, even though this happened, a lot of people try to get on this show. They do not make it as far as you did. And you kept us entertained on television as you created incredible dishes through this season so far. So you are a star and it never fell. It's a cooking competition on Fox. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you very much. And I feel super fortunate to have had this experience and for all the people who supported me and, you know, pushed me to go out there and do it, because yeah, not very many people get to do that. So regardless of the outcome, I'm going to have a lifetime's worth of stories to tell over it. And it's been just super fun.
Yes.
That's awesome. What's next? What's the plan?
Who knows? All kinds of things. I'm doing a cooking class here. I'm doing a book signing there. I'm cooking a meal for 25 people and coming up with a fun menu. I'm still posting the weird stuff on Instagram, wrote the book, doing the YouTube show, playing the music. I don't know. I tend to just sort of like go and follow the directions that things start to come at me on and see where it takes me.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Well, we enjoyed watching you. We were sad to see you go. I really thought your talent shined through, your personality obviously shined through. So I'm looking forward to some fun things from you. We will continue to cheer you on and watch you. I tell everybody this, you are now part of the MasterChef family, which means you're part of my family. So if you need any help, assistance, anything, I am always a resource and always available to you. So
thank you very much. That's super generous. It was nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nina.
It was awesome. All right, guys. That was a great interview. We cannot wait for you to tune in next week. See you then.